Do I got any winners in the room? Do I got any winners in the room? Hallelujah. Amen. That's all we know how to do is win, right? Hallelujah. Come on, dogs bark, fishes swim, and believers win. Come on, say, I'm a winner. So you always succeed in life, right? Is that the plan of God for you? Does he always want you to succeed? Does he always want you to win? He does. You're more than a conqueror. I said, you're an overcomer. Amen. So we began to look at Joshua chapter 1. And let's read Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9 together. And we're going to continue to look at this, pick up from where we left off last week. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. It says, there not shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm also with you. I will not fail you. Come on, it's impossible for God to fail you, isn't it? I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people you'll divide an inheritance in the land. Do y'all have an inheritance? Do you have an inheritance? Amen. Which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not to it from the right or the left, and you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Anybody want to be prosperous? Anybody want to have good success? Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so we looked at Numbers 13:33. That's where we're going to jump off again. Because here we've got the children of Israel. They've come out of Egypt with a mighty hand. God delivered them with signs, wonders, and miracles. Anybody believing for signs, wonders, and miracles? Is that for today too? God delivered with signs, wonders, and miracles. I mean, they were delivered. The firstborn of the children of Israel, because they put the blood on the doorpost, I mean, the death angel went right over them. They came out with not one sick or feeble among them. They came out with silver and gold, and they're all dressed in brand new clothes. I mean, God took them over the Red Sea, even on dry ground. I'm just telling you, God did great and marvelous things for them. Amen. And then they got in, and the 12 spies went in. And they went in, and the problem was this. God wasn't able to deliver them, right? Oh, good. I was waiting to see if anybody was listening. Because he just delivered them out of Egypt. I mean, so was he just, he changed his mind about giving them the promised land. When they got there, he didn't realize those walled cities were there. He didn't realize all the giants were there. He didn't realize the front line of every NFL team was right there. You know, he didn't realize that. No, that didn't change. What happened? This is the truth. He got the children of Israel out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of the children of Israel. Just like us, we have to be careful. He's gotten us out of the world. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But is the world still trying to hang on to you? Do we still think like, talk like, walk like the world? What do we got to do? Because you see, it wasn't the lack of God's power. It wasn't a change in God's plan. What caused the children of Israel not to go in and get their possession? It was them and them alone. Because in Numbers 13:33, it says this. It said, we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. And these are not figurative giants. These are real tall dudes. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So what happened was they began to think of themselves in a wrong way. They thought of themselves as slaves, as bricklayers, as midwives, as those that were under. They began to long for Egypt. How do I know? They wanted to go back and eat the garlic and the leeks, and they're afraid that God was going, their children were all going to die. The God who delivered them out, suddenly they began to look at things in a different way, and they begin to see themselves. It says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Who told them that? How did they begin to believe that? Because they surely believed it. Because what you believe is what you talk about. And they begin to believe, I'm nothing but a bug. And a bug can't go up against a giant, but that wasn't the plan of God. It wasn't God's power that kept them out, the lack of God's power. It wasn't the walled cities. It wasn't the giants. It was what they thought of themselves. It was their own thinking. Now, what's the truth, though? What was the truth? Joshua chapter 2 talks about a lady named Rahab. Anybody here know who Rahab was? She was in the line of Jesus. And I don't know where this new modern teaching comes from, but I've heard, oh, harlot doesn't mean what it means. Yes! Girlfriend was, she was. She knew the fellas. Let's just leave it at that. And so, here this harlot was, and she told these two spies that came in from Joshua's generation, and this is what she said in verse 9, chapter 2 of Joshua. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us all. How did she know that? Well, she heard everybody talking. She heard the guys talking. Your terror has fallen on us all, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We heard how he dried up the Red Sea. We heard that. When you came out of Egypt, we heard what happened when you came out of Egypt, that you all dressed brand new, that there wasn't any sick or feeble among you, and that you took all their silver and gold. We heard all that. And we know what you did to those two kings, the Amorites that were on the side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did what? Neither did there remain any more courage in any because of you, for the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. So the truth is, 40 years ago, when they saw the children of Israel come up to them, and the inhabitants of Jericho were like, what? They're like, it's all over. We can't beat them because they're from God. So the truth was that God had given them the land, and even the enemy knew it. But it's just like the devil today. The enemy's not going anywhere until you make them go. They're not going to leave. They're not just going to say, okay, fine, it's yours. They weren't made to leave what God had promised the children of Israel. But they knew they had to go. And the devil knows he's got to go today. If you'll believe, if you'll do what you're supposed to do, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do. So the truth is, though, because of the children of Israel, because they didn't get Egypt out of them, their thinking was wrong, and they thought of themselves as grasshoppers. It was that thought that kept them out of the promised land, nothing else. And today, our thinking, our meditation, our knowing who we are is constantly keeping us out of the promises of God that are yes and amen. The devil is not big enough to keep your stuff. The devil's not big enough to destroy your marriage. The devil's not big enough to take your children. The devil's not big enough to take your job, ruin your career, mess up your business. The devil's not big enough. He's an enemy that's been defeated, and he shakes his in terror. If you'll just submit to God, resist the devil, he has to flee from you. Hallelujah. Come on now. He's waiting on it just like they were there. They were like, we were afraid. We were afraid. So, but the meditation of our heart determines what we believe about ourselves. And so I talked to you a little bit about the mind of Christ last time, and I want to talk a little bit more about it before we get into some other things today. How many of you have the mind of Christ? I believe this. I believe it's not something you earn. I believe it's something you have. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16 says, you have the mind of Christ. How many know God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts? His ways are higher than our ways. But you have the mind of Christ. In other words, I can start thinking godly thoughts. I can start doing godly things because his thoughts become my thoughts. But what happens, have you ever heard this scripture? God has not given us a spirit of, but of power, love, and a... So where are those things? God's given you dunamis. Where is that? That's on the inside of you. How about the love of God? Well, it's shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He's given you a sound mind. Where is that sound mind? Listen, it's in you. You have the mind of Christ. And I'm saying if you'll start from that place of, I have the ability because of the greater one in me to think like God. The scripture says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians. What am I saying? Is start from the place of it's in me. And though, it's like salvation. How many of you know if you don't yield to or work with or understand or walk in your salvation, it won't, the whole inclusive package, healing, protection, deliverance, doing well, that won't work for you. Salvation is an all-inclusive word. But if all you ever believe is it gets me to heaven, I'm saved to go to heaven, and you don't experience the rest of it, but salvation is in you. You are saved. You are an eternal being. Eternity doesn't start for you when you die. Eternity started when you were born again. And the same thing with the mind of Christ, it's in you. God's not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. It's in you. Start from that place. But if you don't then do anything with it, your position does you no good. Are you righteous? That's your position. Are you seated in heavenly places? Yes. But even though that's a true position, you've got to now experience it and walk in it. You have a true position of having the mind of Christ. I confess it all the time. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not trying to get it. I got it. I'm not trying to get a sound mind. I have one. It's just a different way to look at it. But then also, what do you got to do? Then you got to begin to renew. The Bible talks about Ephesians 5:26, that you got to take the word of God and wash yourself. You got to wash yourself. Romans 12:1-2 talks about the transformation of your mind. How many of you know you got to go through a metamorphosis process? Right? What do you got to do? How do you do that? Renew. Take the word of God, wash yourself, renew it. Then you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It talks about strongholds. See, the children of Israel had a stronghold. They had a mentality of who they thought they were. And their mentality, listen to me. Signs, wonders, and miracles, we're believing for them, right? But sometimes it's not enough to get you your promised land. They all saw signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles are mostly for unbelievers. How many know we want them? We want to see them, right? We want to see the power of God. But just the signs, wonders, and miracles wasn't enough to take them all the way in because of their mindset. And not everybody had the same mindset. We're going to get into it a little bit. Joshua and Caleb's mindset was different. So see, you can be living in this time and hearing the same thing, seeing the same thing, and having two different mindsets. Because Joshua and Caleb saw the same miracles that the other 10 saw, all the other people saw. They walked across on the same dry ground in the Red Sea that everybody else did. They had the same new clothes on as everybody else. But what was different? They had a different mindset. Listen to me. How you think about yourself will either take you into the promises or keep you out of the promises. It is that serious. It is that important. It is that serious. It is that important. It's why you've got to renew your mind. It's got to be transformed. Thank God when you're born again, your spirit is alive unto God. But you've got to, your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions have to go through a transformation process. A metamorphosis process. Come on, we got to turn them tadpoles into frogs and them caterpillars into butterflies. Amen? Amen. We got to do it. And how do you do it? By the renewing of your mind. Why? Because these strongholds, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is a thought, a fortified thought in your mind that keeps you from the promises of God. The Israelite stronghold was, I am a grasshopper. Verse 5, cast down the imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Can you see that you and I must take every thought captive? We must, by having the mind, take the mind of Christ and grab a hold of every stronghold. If we don't grab a hold of the stronghold, if we don't cast it down. I mean, the Bible tells us what to do with strongholds, changing that mentality that keeps us out of the promised land, and it tells us what to think on. It says whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, right? Remember? Remember Philippians 4:8, isn't it? Whatever things are of a good report, think on these things. Come on, we got to think on these things. It tells us what to think on. It tells us what to think on. It tells us, understanding this, that in times past, you had an old nature, and that old nature influenced your mind. That old nature caused you to think a certain way. It caused you to talk a certain way. And you've got to change that. I have to change that. If I don't change it, then the Bible says, put off the old man and put on the new. What is that? That's a transformation process. Who's got to put on the new man? It's like me putting on this jacket. I got to put it on. You and I have to take off the old man, and we got to take it off. It didn't say cover it up. It says take it off. Take off the old man, put on the new. And so in doing that, what is that? That is the renewal of the mind, using the mind of Christ. So that, and what happens is what you meditate on. When you look there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I love teaching you all this. This changed my life. Come on, I want this to change your life. Because God wants you to be a success. It's more important to him. He wants you to receive all the promises of God that are yes and amen. And so when you look in Joshua 1:8, you see a fluid thing here. Those three things. You see meditating the word of God, speaking the word of God, and doing the word of God. And then it makes you a success. It causes you to reach your potential. And those three things, we're going to divide them up for teaching, but those three things flow together. And so as you're meditating, what happens? As you're meditating on something, you begin to say something. And so that's what we're going to look at now. We're going to look at your mouth. Hallelujah. Everybody go, ah. No, just kidding. So we're going to look inside. We're going to see what comes out of your mouth. Because we got these two people. We got the 10 who took the crowd and went one way. And we got these two, Joshua and Caleb. And they each said something different because they believed something different that they must have got because they thought something different. They each got something different because they did and said something different because they obviously thought something different. The meditation that the 10 had was, we're nothing but bugs, and then they got up and in front of everybody, even though everything God had told them was true. The land flowed with milk and honey. He told them it was their land. And they came back and said, we're grasshoppers in our own sight, and so are we in theirs. And how many of you know this to be truth? Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 2. It says, you are snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken. What happened? They were snared because of what they meditated on, what they believed, and what they said. They were snared. Their words kept them out of the promised land, not God. Their meditation, their belief kept them out of the promised land, not a walled city. Their words kept them out of the promised land, not a giant. And your words and my words keep us away from the promises of God that are yes and amen. Your promised land has always and will always be there. It doesn't matter what it is in what area of your life. If the word says you can have it, it's your promised land, it's your promise, and it's yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And God is not holding it from you. We have to get to this place where we've gone through metamorphosis. We believe right. We think right. We begin to talk right, do right, and we'll be able to have it. Not in our own strength, but just doing the word of God. So, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what were these spies speaking? Death, we can't. We're grasshoppers. This is who we are. This is who we think we are. And what happened? They will eat the fruit of it. But then you got Joshua and Caleb. Let's look at Numbers 14. Let's look at Numbers 14. When they came back, how many of you know, saw all the same signs, wonders, and miracles, walked across in the same dry ground, ate all the same grapes, saw all the same giants, saw all the same walled cities, But they came back and they had a little different take on it. Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. It says, if the Lord delight in us, does he delight in you? Are you the apple of his eye? If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us this land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not. They came back and say, hey, dinner is served. The enemy, this is easy. This is easy. Maybe this is where the saying came from, easy as sliced bread. I don't know. It's easy. Their defense has left them. What? How did they come up with that versus we're grasshoppers? We got two guys. Now, I know Joshua spent time in the presence of God because he was Moses' servant, and he knew God. Yet he came back. He looked at the same walled cities. He looked at the same giants. It was what he thought about himself. He didn't say, I'm a bug. He said, they're bread for us. He even went a step further and said their defense has departed from them. And then you take what Rahab says. She said, we were afraid. Everybody was in terror. We were just waiting for you to come. But we couldn't understand why y'all walked in a circle for 40 years. And we didn't leave. I've been watching y'all for 40 years. I knew one day you were coming. The devil knows one day you're going to wake up and say, I have had it. But it'll only come when you see yourself different. It'll only come when you see yourself in Christ. It'll only come when you know who you really are. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The meditations you have. That's why the psalmist said, let the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because whatever you think on, what happens is you get a little self-talk. Kind of like the one with the issue of blood. She said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of, if I could just touch his clothes. She began to see herself doing it. And she began to see it. Meditate on it, say it, then she did it, then she had it. She began to meditate on it, she heard it, she began to meditate on it, she began to see it, she began to say it, and then she began to have it. She did it, she had it. And the same thing happens with you and I. It is so important what you think about yourself, and then it's important what you say about yourself. Now listen, I want to clear some things up. Here, Joshua and Caleb have gotten up, and they have made a profession of faith. Because the truth of the matter is, Luke 6:45 happened for the 10 and the 2. It happened for both of them. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth spoke. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth spoke. One said, I'm a grasshopper. Where did he get that from? Where did they get that from? Because they meditated it, because they believed that, they said that, and then they couldn't enter in the promised land. The second one said, they're bread for us. Their defense has departed from them. In other words, Joshua wasn't up giving an exhortation speech or trying to position everybody in faith. That is what he believed. That is what he knew. Not because of what he saw, not because of anything except for he believed what God said and he saw himself conquering. He saw himself winning battles because he said their defense has departed from them. I don't know what he saw. He saw himself going, and them running away. I don't know. But he saw it, and he got up and said it. He wasn't trying to make it happen. In other words, I watch people, because listen to me, you're going to have a profession of faith. There's a confession unto faith. But there's also, in order for this to work, you're going to have to see yourself a certain way and say it out of your heart and really believe it. It's like being born again. I had this friend that when we used to go out, and I should be more like him, I'm not really making fun of him, but everywhere we went, he was always trying to get everybody born again. And I watched some people bow their head and have a headache prayer, and just, you know, with one eye open as I pray it, now is he going to leave me alone? They didn't get born again. Because to get born again, you have to believe something in your heart and say something. It's not get rid of you salvation. Right? There has to be a profession of faith in order for someone to be born again. And so I think sometimes when people hear teaching on confession and profession, Jesus is the high, and your words are very important. Don't make a mistake. But there has to come a time in your life when you make a confession of faith that's not forced. It's not for everybody. It's like this, out of the abundance of your heart. I know you've never done this, so I'm just going to tell on me. You know, so like you talk for 20 minutes about how something's going wrong, and, you know, this is going on and that's going on, and then you tack on, yeah, but my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I talked 20 minutes for how hard it was, and then I slapped on, because I'm a good faith preacher, I slapped on the end, my God supplies all my needs in Jesus. Oh, and I even put in Jesus' name on it. So now it makes me really in faith. No, it doesn't make me in faith. It made me 20 minutes of telling you what was really in my heart, and then I know better confession. And an I know better confession is not a confession of faith. What? So you're saying I shouldn't say what the word says? No, you should say what the word says until you believe it. There's a confession unto faith. But understand what your words are for. God wasn't working up to light be. He really knew when he said light be, light was coming. He wasn't hoping so. I'm going to try this. When he spoke, he knew that light was going to be because it was in his heart. He had seen what he wanted. He said, light be. Jesus made it. The Holy Ghost performed it. And boom, light's still being. Words are very important. The Word of God said that what you meditate on, what you say, what you do, that's what will make you and I a success. Joshua and Caleb got up and said, their defense has departed from them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, we having the same spirit of faith, according to it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. But what I'm saying to you is, it's not forced. It rolls off of you because that's what you really believe. Being the pastor sometimes, I talk to people, and then they'll catch themselves saying, they'll talk about the problem. I don't mind talking about the problem. I know some people don't like to hear it, but if you have a problem, you can talk about it. But you just can't go, talk about it, and talk about it. You know, but see, what we do, we have to watch is we talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, and then slap a scripture on behind it and put Jesus' name because we know better. But that's not faith. So what do we do? Well, we have a situation and we hear some things coming out of the abundance of our heart. What do we need to do? We need to meditate. We need to get in the Word and meditate, 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 and see ourselves different. And then what you'll watch is, then things will begin to flow up out of you, because when you get squozing, come on, y'all know this, squeeze an orange, you get, squeeze a believer, you ought to get some belief, some word, right? Well, you know, no, Pastor, when the pressure's on, you just can't, you know, people just say anything. You know, they say, people, well, no, when the pressure's on, that's really, 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 really when we know what we believe. We're not having much fun yet. Are you all right? Well, I know you're just thinking. That's good. Thinking's good. Hallelujah. We having the same. I got the same. Yeah, I got the same. Same spirit of faith. How did they get that spirit of faith? They meditated. They did. And they spoke. Mark 11, 23. Everybody heard that one? Anybody heard it? Mark 11, 23. For I say to you, whosoever, are you a whosoever? say it in this mountain. So we got to talk to stuff. Be removed and cast in the sea and not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He will have whatever he says. But what's the important part of that? You believe and don't doubt. Say the word. But there comes a time of a profession of faith. And it's important for you and I to get this, that you do need to put the word in you. The more you put the word in you, the more the word will come out of you. It's meditating the word and seeing yourself. It's like the one with the issue of blood. She heard something. Faith comes by, she heard something. Joshua and Caleb heard something. God said, through Moses, I've given you this land. They heard that. And what did they decide to do? Believe that. And something had to begin to happen with them. They had to somehow begin to see themselves living there. Caleb believed it so much that wherever he went, I don't know if he went by himself, but he stumbled across some mountain. He was in the mountains. And, you know, 40 years later, we see him talking to Joshua and he says, hey, today I'm 80. And I'm as strong as I've ever been. And way back then, God promised me wherever I put my foot that I could have it. And I did this 40 years ago. And so so that first time he was in there, he had to imagine himself in a log cabin up in the hills or something. And he had never forgotten it. Because he said, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. What? He saw himself on that mountain, living on that mountain all those years ago. You got to see yourself there. The one with the issue of blood, she began to see herself well. She'd suffered many things of many physicians, and yet she heard of Jesus. She obviously heard that if you can touch him, power comes out of him. So she began to visualize herself touching him. Because she believed what she heard. She began to visualize herself touching him. And then she began to say within herself, because she meditated on it. Because at first she's like, I'm sure, you know, when she's talking about, when she heard that, she's thinking, well, I have a blood disease. I can't go out. And I'm tired of yelling, unclean, unclean, unclean. I'm not going, I don't want to go in. But then she heard it and she's like, well, everybody touches him. So she began to see herself touching him. And then she began to say something. She meditated till she said. And she said, if I can but touch his clothes, if I can but touch him. See, you got to see yourself the way the Word sees you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can just have made a big old mess up. And then if you get up and say, Lord, forgive me for that. And then I am the right. You're not righteous. I am the righteousness of God. See yourself right. I yield my instruments under righteousness. I'm going to lift up my righteous hands and worship God. The devil said, put down them hands. Those aren't righteous hands. These are righteous. I yield my instruments under righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. You begin to meditate. And then, how are you doing today? I'm righteous. Or you can get around the cooler and people be like, yeah, I heard a good message that we're all sinners. And you can look at them and say, I'm righteous. And they'll look at you like, who you think you are? I'm righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But it's in you. It's not fake. I'm not trying to be righteous. I know I'm righteous. I'm not, for a while you may have to put it on, but then there comes a time then it just comes up out of you. I'm not trying to, this is who I am. I am really blessed to be a blessing. I really am blessed. I really am. I believe that. I'm a blessing to a lot of people. On a very regular basis. I always have enough to give into every good work. I always do. I never lack for anything to give. I always have it. If you had asked me that 25 years ago, I would have said this. Well, I hope one day. What changed? A revelation changed not the amount of money in my wallet. A revelation change of who I am. You begin to believe something. The woman with the issue of blood, she believed something. She began to imagine something. She began to see something. She began to say something. And therefore, she began to do something. That's what Joshua 1:8 is. He wants you to meditate. He wants you to say. He wants you to do so you can be. If we don't have those things, then the enemy will talk us out of. He will talk you into who you used to be, who you're trying to be, and keep you from never being able to possess your possessions. You have to see yourself, and then you begin to talk about it. And then it becomes a confession of faith. And then you begin to act on it, and then you'll have it. There's so much I want to talk to you about words, because words are very powerful. I don't know if you've ever heard people say, well, what's that confession stuff, that name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, and all that kind of stuff? You know, well, really, honestly, this didn't even start with Jesus. This started with the Father in Genesis 1. He's always been someone who said something so that something could be. And then Jesus came and reinforced it. And then preachers came and saw it in the Word, and inspiration of the Holy Ghost started teaching it. Words are very important, and we're going to get into them a little more as we keep looking into this. God wants you to be a success. Come on, do I got any winners in the room? Got any successful people in the room? Begin to meditate. Whatever is causing you problems, begin to meditate on the answer. Begin to see yourself with it fixed. Are you seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? See yourself there. Operate from there. See yourself the way he sees you. It's the difference between conquering. It's the difference between winning and losing. It really is. God has success on his mind for you. God has victory on his mind for you. And as you meditate the word of God and remove those strongholds and begin to speak the word of God only. Am I saying just don't speak the word until you're ready for your confession of faith? No, speak the word. That's how you sow into your heart. Speak the word, speak the word. But I'm telling you, at one time, there will be a confession of faith. And nobody will have to tell you. Nobody will have to work you to that. You'll know. I really do believe. And nobody, no walled city, no giant will be able to talk you out of it. You'll be like Joshua and Caleb. Hey, they're bred for us. Let's go up and once at once and possess our, let's get our possessions. Let's get what the Lord has for us. And that's how you become a success. That's how you make your way successful. Listen, Rahab said that we were afraid of you, because we knew that your God, all that he had done, we were afraid of you. The devil is ready. And no, one day they're going to all wake up and tell me to move. But I ain't moving until they tell me to. Until they learn to use their authority, until they learn what's theirs, until they see themselves, I'm going to keep messing with them. I'm gonna keep messing with their minds. I'm gonna keep messing with their emotions. I'm gonna keep them in a frenzy as long as I can. But he knows one day you and the whole church is gonna wake up and take their authority and start being taking dominion like the Son of God told us to do, because we're sons and daughters of the Most High. And our words are they're powerful because they're his words. And we're going to do what God said. We're going to rule and reign in this life, and we're going to possess our possessions. Amen. They belong to you. They're yours. Amen. Let's all stand.